just do that right now. Let's jump in. Let's open with prayer. Our Father, this morning, we begin our time in prayer, directing our hearts, our lives, our minds, our wills, our emotions towards you this morning. And as we come in prayer, we stand before you. We thank you for Jesus, who's given us the way into your throne room. We come praying for our sister Terry this morning. Thank you for the fact that she did not have to have surgery. Thank you, Father. I pray you'll strengthen her. I pray you will help her. Pray you will heal her, Father. Father, we just pray this morning as we come to our lesson that you would just use it in our lives. Very practical lesson this morning. I pray that it will have practical results in our lives, and I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm so glad you're here. I feel like a lot of our people are probably visiting their mothers, don't you? And this morning's lesson I'm taking out of a book I'm reading that is really, really good, very practical book. It's written by a lady named Heather Holman, and I'm kind of interested in her, maybe thinking about inviting her to come to our Kids the Season banquet and be our speaker. She is a professor at Penn State, and she is just an amazing communicator. And so what I'm going to take this morning comes out of this book, and I'm really enjoying it. It's really helping me. I'll put it here. And so it's kind of a random lesson, but you know how when you're reading something and it's so good, you want to share it, right? And so that's kind of how I feel this morning. You know, the Bible, we have a section called wisdom literature in the Bible, but really the whole Bible is wisdom literature, right? We come to the Bible. The Bible gives us wisdom. Within its pages, you and I can learn how to live the wisest and the best kind of life. We learn through the Bible what it means, what does it look like to care for, to include, and to ultimately love others well. And so this morning, I'm just going to make this statement that the basic, bottom line, most basic level of loving another person comes through our words, right? Comes through our conversation. And so I believe this lesson is a needful lesson in our generation. And I'll tell you why. Nobody talks anymore. Everyone is on social media. This phenomena with phones, smartphones, really began just with my last baby son, Sam. The other four were older. They didn't have the cell phones. They kind of, the bag phones were just coming in. You know, we bought a bag phone for Sunday when she went to college, so if she had trouble on the road, she would use it in case of emergency. That was the end, just an emergency. But then when Sam came along, that was a whole different breed. Something changed. Everything was different. Everyone was walking around first with a flip phone, but it didn't take long for the smartphone to come, right? I remember one time we were on a trip with Sam and one of his friends, and we were traveling in another state, and nobody was talking. And I looked back, and they were texting each other in the car. I'm like, really? You're texting each other? Why don't you just put the phone down, look each other in the eye, and talk? And then along with all of that came TikTok and came tweeting and Snapchat and Facebook and Instagram and 100 others that I'm too old to know anything about. I just got back from a trip with my sisters. Just in the airport, every person in the airport is sitting there on their phone. Every person in the plane is sitting on their phone. In restaurants, they're on their phones. And I'm just like, why is everybody so glued to the phone? Go sit in a doctor's office. What's everybody doing? They're glued to their phones. And most of them have their earbuds in, which means don't talk to me. It seems like we are in desperate need of learning how to have a real conversation. Now, I don't know about you, but it bothers me. It really does. It bothers me when my grandchildren come over and they're like vegetables. I tell them, you're vegetables. All they want to do is lay on the couch, play their games on their phones. And I have to pay them. I say, I'll give you $5. Let's go outside. $5, you know. And they'll do it. They do anything for $5. And I'll say, I'll pay you $5 to go out and play for 5 minutes. I mean, for 30 minutes outside. Well, you know what happens? They go outside and they play the whole rest of the afternoon. Let's talk about Gen Z. Do you know Gen Z? Have you heard of that generation? Gen Z are young adults that are ages 18 to 22. They are said to be the loneliest generation. The loneliest. I believe it. They're also said to be in the worst health than any other generation. They experience greater levels of anxiety than any other generation. I can't help but believe that somehow it's linked to the art of having conversation, connection with people. Ladies, if we're going to share the gospel in our worlds, we're going to have to learn how to develop warm relationships. We're going to have to train ourselves in the how-tos of how to have loving conversations with others for the purpose of having spiritual conversations. I think it's a crisis. Well, is this a subject you might be interested in this morning? Is it? Well, good, because that's our lesson for this morning, how to have loving conversations. Now, let's begin by reading one of the most personally challenging passages of Scripture in all of the Bible. It comes out of Philippians chapter 2. Now, this letter of Philippians was written by Paul to believers who lived in a small Roman colony called Philippi. And this letter was answering some questions they had about body life, about what does Christian maturity look like, just a lot of different issues. But I want us to begin in chapter 2, verse 3. Listen carefully. Do nothing, Paul says, from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but instead he emptied himself. He laid aside his glory. He took on the form of a bondservant. And he was made in the likeness of men. Now look at these verses and let's answer some questions. Notice here, do you value others as more important than yourself? Now that's a good question for us to think about this morning. Do you look out for the interest of other people? Are you aware of what's going on in other people's lives? Do you serve others? Does humility mark your life? Do you care? Do you really care about other people? Now go back to verse 3 and just notice there it says, regard one another as more important than yourself. Now that verb there, regard in the Greek, means this. I want you to write it down. It means to esteem exceedingly. It's like a big word. I want you to esteem others, Paul says, exceedingly more than you even esteem yourself. Now, I want to suggest this morning that the way people know that we esteem them exceedingly is that we tell them with our conversation. How do they know? Unless I tell them, right? He goes on to and adds these other things. Do nothing from selfishness. Look out for others' interests. Have this attitude of humility. Oh, and this one, empty yourself of yourself. Wow. And not only that, you need to have this mindset. You're going to take on the form of a servant, a bondservant. Wow, that's asking a lot, Teresa. That's asking a lot, Paul, isn't it? Quite frankly, the sad truth about me is, naturally, in my flesh, I'm just so self-centered. And naturally, in my flesh, it's just not about you. It's about me, right? And so Paul is asking these Christians in Philippi, and he's asking us this morning to do something that we cannot do in our own power. That's true. It's something that God, only God, can do in us. He can do it in us through the power of His Holy Spirit, who comes to live inside of us when we're born again. Do you have a spirit-filled friend? Do you? And when you're around her, she blesses you. She's all about you. She loves you well. She genuinely cares. She's interested. She's not just looking out for her own interest. She's looking out for your interest. How does that feel? It feels wonderful. It really does. And so, you know what? It's the Holy Spirit in us that produces this. That's why I get so excited when I study the Bible. I'm learning all the wonderful things that the Holy Spirit can do in me. I like to imagine it. I like to dream about it. I like to think about it. God, I'm your child, and because I am, this is what you can do in me. Do it. Fill me. I mean, it makes me want to rejoice. You see, when the Holy Spirit moves in, He changes us. He helps me to think differently about myself and to think differently about other people. He changes me. He helps me as I'm looking at others. I see them as royalty. I esteem them exceedingly. I see them as VIPs. They're marvelous celebrities. Teresa, you're getting a little carried away. You know what? We need to think of our husbands like this, girls. We need to think of our children like this. We need to think about the people we work with every day like this, those we go to church with, because the truth of the matter is we are all one-of-a-kind creations of God. Each one of us is a treasure, a marvel made in the very image of God Himself, a storehouse of potential. And so Paul is calling us here to put others first, to let others be more important for a change in our minds. Now look once again at verse 4. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Now how am I ever going to know what your interests are unless I take the time to ask you, what are you interested in? How can I know what others care about unless I take the time to seek them out, to talk to them, to find out? I've got to reach out to others about their lives, and then I have to pay attention to details. I have to train myself to do this. And so this morning, I want us to root this theme of loving conversations out of Philippians 2. And these verses are going to take our conversations and turn them into acts of service. We're going to serve one another through our loving conversations. How does that sound? Sounds good, doesn't it? Now, I want us to turn in our lesson this morning to some practical skills to apply today, immediately, to help you develop the art of having a loving conversation. I want to share with you four mindsets that we're going to have in order to go out into our world and have loving conversations. Here's the first one. Write it down. Be curious. Write it down. Be curious. And so Paul is commanding here. Look, I want you to look out for the interest of others. I want you to be discovering the interest of others. It relates directly to me becoming a curious person. Are you curious by nature? Some of you are. Some of you, you're like, well, no, not really. I'm kind of a blonde. Many of you know the name of Dale Carnegie. If you're older, you do. He wrote the best-selling book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Have any of you read that book? Yeah, many of you have. It was first published in 1936. That's how old it is. I wasn't alive then, okay? It sold over 30 million copies. It's one of the best-selling books of all time. He claimed something so simple about how to make lasting friendships. I put his quote down. He put it this way. Be genuinely interested in other people. Well, duh. That's so simple, isn't it? Just be curious. Be genuinely interested. And then he went on to say, you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming genuinely interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. I like that. You see, God has just put something in our DNA. It's a longing, it's a desire for someone to be curious about me, to draw me out, for someone to come along and to make a connection, a deep connection, to come and ask good questions. But instead, most people are self-absorbed and self-involved. So curiosity is a character trait that we need to develop. Let's define it. Let's write a few things down. Curiosity is the desire to know and understand more about people. Now, my problem is I learn a lot about people, but I forget it. So I need to keep a journal, a people journal. Write things down. Here's another thing to write down. Curiosity is the desire to engage with others about their lives. And then write this down. It's the secret juice of relationships. Curious people are always looking for new information about others. They believe they will learn something important or meaningful. Well, how can we develop it, Teresa? Well, write this down. Get excited. Get excited about all there is to discover about other people. There's so much about you that I don't know. You know more about me because I'm the teacher. I'm always telling you things. But you're not telling me your things. Get excited. You know, as long as I've lived with Bill, we've been married 52 years. There is still so much more that I need to discover about him. In fact, last week we were talking and he said something. I said, I never knew that about you. Oh my goodness, I've learned something new. Socially curious people love learning about others because they believe other people possess rich treasures of experiences, of insights, of wisdom to offer in conversation. And as we interact with one another, expect to discover something meaningful, something valuable that's going to help you. It's going to require me to have a mindset that's set on discovering things in other people. Each friend is just a tremendous gift to the world. Each person offers a one-of-a-kind point of view on the universe. Each one is created in the image of God. And if they're born again, they are radiant children of God. They have potential to say something that just might change your life. They have potential to say something that just might give you a fresh, new perspective. What if they say something that unlocks a mystery for you? What if that person happens to be the next step on your journey? And what if you are the next step on their journey? Here's number two. Act as if you are curious. Well, Teresa, I'm just not curious. Well, act like you are, okay? Just be an actress. Train yourself to ask this question. Oh, what would I say if I were a curious person? Let your mind role play what a curious person would say. You see, a curious person loves gathering information about others just for the pure joy of understanding their lives. And they use questions fueled by curiosity to build connections. Well, let's go to the second mindset. I've got to hurry. Here's mindset number two. What's mindset number one? Be curious. Okay, say it again. Be curious. All right, here's number two. Believe the best. Put that down. Now go to Philippians 2, because Philippians 2 is clearly hinting to us that we are to honor other people. But go directly there on your handout to Romans 12:10. Here Paul commands us, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, give preference to one another in honor. Now, I don't want to be curious for the wrong reasons. For example, I'm not going to get with you and ask you all these questions and get all your juicy information for the purpose of me going and gossiping about you, right? I'm going to get out and talk about, oh, so-and-so told me this. No, that's not what I want to do. That's a wrong reason. That certainly doesn't bring honor. That doesn't esteem another person. And I also don't want to run through a list of questions out of a sense of some kind of duty. I have to do this as if I'm interviewing you. No, that doesn't feel good either. No. But when someone comes along and they're genuinely interested in me and they're talking with me and they're asking me about my life from a position of love and respect, then I easily open up to that kind of person. I could talk for hours. Psychologists call believing the best a different term. And I put it up there on your handout. They call it positive regard. It means believe the best. Now, what does that mean? Let's write it down. It means I accept people just as they are, without trying to change them, judge them, or shame them. Now, I needed to hear that, and I'll tell you why. I'm an exhorter. And when I get with you, I want to be a bulldozer and push you. I want to say, now, this is what you need to do. You need to, I want to just push you there. Sometimes I can bulldoze people. I know I can bulldoze my children. No, I don't want to do that. I want to believe the best. I want to accept you just as you are. I want to do it without trying to change you. If you think my motive is you want to change me, you want to judge me, or you want to shame me, that is not going to be a good basis for communication. And let's write this down. It means that I determine, this is my mindset, I'm determining to position myself instead to respect, admire, like, and enjoy the person with whom I'm in conversation with. Now, if I start from that vantage point, it's going to let conversation blossom. People will want to share their lives with you when they feel safe, when they feel understood, when they feel cared for in your presence. This one thing has great power in our relationships, especially in marriage, especially with our children. In fact, the best advice for the success of any marriage is this: believe the best about your partner. And do that instead of keeping a careful record of the ways your husband has not met your needs, keeping a careful account of all the ways he's let you down, all the chores he hasn't finished. That's a toxic mindset. Instead, begin your conversation by believing the best about him. Show positive regard. And you do, your marriage, your families will, your friendships will flourish. Resist being the judge and never shame. Accept people. That's an essential condition for belongingness to occur. Believing the best about people is a way of extending God's grace to others. I know as I live my life, even though I mess up, and I do all the time, I say the wrong thing, I don't do what I should. I know even though I mess up, God's grace is always there for me. He's still blessing me. He's forgiving me. He's loving me right in the middle of my bad choices or whatever I do, my mess ups. And when I get that mindset toward others, you know what I'm doing? I'm reflecting God's grace to them. Now here's a suggestion for you. I didn't write it on your handout. You may want to jot it down. It's a suggestion for you when you're with someone, you're having trouble believing the best about that person in your mind, you're judging them, you're having a hard, you've got a bad attitude. Try thinking of what that person was like as a child. I think this sometimes when I see people at stoplights and they're begging for money in Jackson, money. And they've got their sign. And I always think, well, what were they like as a child? How did they ever get to this place where they're standing on the side of the road? Find out the story behind why this person feels or acts like they do. And you know what it will do? It's amazing. It will help you have compassion instead of condemnation. And let me say this, the only way someone knows you believe the best about them is if you use your words to tell them. Practice complimenting people in your life. Don't flatter them, but look genuinely for things you can compliment. Look for simple things. I just say, I really enjoy talking to you. No one wants to open up in an environment where they feel someone's judging them or criticizing them or who is looking for ways to put them down or ways to improve them or ways to change them. Aren't you so thankful God extends His grace to us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Ask God to help you to radically extend grace to others. Now here are some ideas to help you believe the best. Verbally. Now, thank a friend for something he or she did. Thank a friend or share a positive memory that you have of that person. Share something you really appreciate about them. Make a list of the people in your life you care the most about. I did this last week. Write down several things you admire and respect about that person. And then when you're with them, it's going to promote your memory to be able to give you suggestions for how to compliment them the next time you're together. I love this lesson. It's so practical, isn't it? So what's the first mindset? Be curious and believe the... Y'all are not listening. Okay, be curious and believe the best. All right, good. Let's go to number three. Express concern. Now, here's the deal. I can be curious about another person. I can train myself to begin with positive regard, and my mindset is I'm going to believe the best. But that doesn't mean I will automatically experience the warmth and meaning that I'm hoping for. What is missing? And what's missing is I must invest in that person. I must be concerned about that person. Let's write down what investment means. It means I'm interested in the outcome of what that person has said to me, has shared with me. I'm interested. I want to know, how's this going to turn out? And so, write this down. Investment means I'm going to devote time and energy because I care about what happens to the other person. And then it means this. I'm going to seek to support, encourage, and inspire them. I'm going to link their successes with me. I'm going to link their failures with me. I'm going to link their sadness with me. I'm going to link their joys with me. It's what Romans 12:15 is commanding us. Look at it on your handout. It says, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. I'm going to connect. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens. This is a form of support that moves beyond empathy. It is to assume responsibility in someone else's life. Well, what does it look like? Well, a person, a friend, shares something with you. You show true concern. You follow up. Maybe it's just a text. I love texting. I have a friend who lived here many years ago, and she was in my Thursday morning Bible study. And she was just the sweetest friend. I hated it so bad when she moved. And she still texts me every Thursday morning. I'm praying for you this morning. Now that means the world to me. She's showing concern. Even though she's been gone around 10 years, she still remembers to text me. I'm praying for you. So maybe it's just a text. Maybe it's a call. Hey, just checking on you. How are you feeling? Or, oh, I'm so excited. How did it turn out? Or tell me everything about your award you got. Or tell me about your trip. Or what about that grandchild? That's always a good one. You better not call me and ask me that question. You'll be on the phone a while. But that's what we should be striving to look like in the body of Christ. In our Sunday school class. In our church. In our friendships. It goes beyond being curious. It goes beyond believing the best. It's actually showing genuine concern. It is linking others' joy and others' burdens and others' sorrows as if they were part of my own life. I'm bearing the burden. I'm bearing the joy. I think this is the hardest skill of all. It's where I need to work. It involves wisdom. A wisdom to know how to help with the information someone shares with us in conversation. Now, I'm not advocating that you take on everyone's problems and make them your own, but I do mean that we're to position ourselves to support others as we can, to care about other people, to imagine that there's this interconnectedness with us in our lives. So yes, be curious and believe the best and show genuine concern. But there's one more thing I want to share with you, and let's write it down. Number four is share your life. Share your life. Great conversations involve us sharing personal information about ourselves. Now, this is a little tricky. It's a little more risky. It might even be a little scary for some of you, because it's going to involve you opening up and being vulnerable. So write that on your handout. Now, I don't have a problem with this, but many people do. They're very shy. Maybe your heart beats faster just thinking about talking about yourself with another person. But sharing our lives with each other promotes warm relationships. So put that. I'm not just going to be all about you in my conversation. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to share all about me with you. Now write this down. Sharing your life is a gift that you're giving to another person. Look at James 5:16. Because I think that the command given here goes along with this. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, so that you may be healed. Telling others how you're struggling, it's inviting others to pray for you, and healing comes as a result. It's also one way to allow Proverbs 27:17 to occur, and that says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Allowing this sharpening involves humility. It involves a willingness to be vulnerable with another. Paul was especially passionate about how important it was to share one's life. Look at what he wrote to those who were living in Thessalonica out of chapter 2, verse 8. He says, having so fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become very dear to us. This verse really speaks to me personally, because I don't want to just be your teacher. I want us to have fellowship together. I want us to have deep fellowship in Christ together. I want us to experience genuine, true body life. And I am not good at this, but I desire to be better. I want to grow in this way. Do you? If we look deeper at the idea of sharing our lives from a biblical perspective, we might consider Jesus' high priestly prayer. Look at it on your handout out of Luke, verse 21 there. As Jesus was praying for us, he prayed that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they, that's us, also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Then I think about the commands in Scripture for unity. Look at 1 Peter 3:8. He says, to sum it up, be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. Romans 12:5, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews, Greeks, slaves, free. We're all made to drink of one Spirit. And then down in verse 26, same chapter, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice. Now I want you to hear my heart this morning. That's why I wanted to teach this lesson. Because we are a large class. And I really, really pray all the time, Lord, help us to connect better with one another. I think about all the things going on. I mean, I think I just mentioned Del Lloyd. There he is. What can we do? Well, we can connect ourselves with their joy, right? We can go. You know what? You can go for 15 minutes. Look at his beautiful paintings. You know what that shows? It says, I'm concerned about you. I'm thinking about Lisa, who sits at this table, Lisa Covington. She just started her first chemo this week. I want to bear her burden. Then I look at Catherine. Catherine's getting married in how many days? 11 days. We want to rejoice with Catherine. And then I look at, we have 9 members in our class who have graduates, who have seniors who are graduating. We need to be rallying around their seniors. We're so happy for them. We're praying for them. We love them. You see what I'm talking about? I've got to be aware. I've got to connect. And there's so many more. There's so many more. Some of you just had a new grandbaby. Katie's mother. There are things I need to know about you that are going on. So many. Megan just graduated from Southern yesterday, her master's. Amazing. You see, we need to be curious about what's going on in each other's lives. There's so much going on in your life that I don't know about. I want to know. I want to be connected. So I want you to hear my heart this morning. I want our class to really have an impact. I want us to learn how to love others well. I want us to think of our conversations together to be intentional, because they really are a sacred space. Let's think about them as a way to honor others above ourselves. Let's think of them as a way to value others above ourselves. Let's think of our conversations as a way where I'm taking interest in others. I'm going to encourage you. I want to demonstrate kindness, compassion, and ultimately to go out into the world and share God's amazing gospel. Amen. Did you need this lesson this morning? Keep this handout handy. Let's go over the 4 mindsets. I've been saying them to myself. What's number 1? Be curious. Believe. Show. Concern. Share your life. Those 4 things. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the blessing the wisdom that's in your word. We can never mind the depths of your word. It's so very deep. This is such a practical lesson. This is just right where we live, helping us to share your gospel in our world. We need to think biblically. We want to have biblical mindsets. Help us to be curious. Help us to believe the best in others. Help us, Father, to show concern and to share our life. And we pray you will build community and fellowship within this class of women. And I pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.